Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is a popular actor and comedian. You've seen him on The Monique Show, Coming to America 2, Chelsea lately, and several other comedic shows. You can see him at the Comedy Zone on January 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now. He is Rodney Perry. Rodney, how are you?
How are you, Chase?
I'm doing great. How are you, most importantly?
Man, I'm great, man. It's that time of the year, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time we, you know, get together with family and friends and do great stuff. So it's beautiful.
Awesome. Now, you've been doing this for such a long time now. You have a career that spans decades. Does the joke writing process just get easier for you as time goes on, or has it become more difficult?
That's a great question. Comedy kind of doesn't change the mechanics of it, but what you can say change. Like, oh, my career used to be a crack a joke about anything, but that's not as true as it used to be because the world is a little more sensitive.
So, like, is there anything that you probably, like, when you look back on your set and you're just like, ooh, I probably shouldn't have joked about that now? Or do you kind of just still look back and go, at the time, you know, this was okay?
You know what? I paint with a pretty broad stroke. And so I'd never have to go back and feel guilty about stuff. You know, I've lost my mom. I've lost the people in my life, and I find a way to bring levity to that. Mm-hmm. So if you can make it lighter, that you can make anything light.
Speaking of making light out of some things, one of the jokes that I like that you do is you're talking about how people in their 30s talk about getting old and how you're just feeling it now, which is, it's just funny because, like, my friends who are younger than me, they would be like, oh, I'm not as young as I used to be. And it's like, we're just walking to our car right now and you're already winded.
Oh, my God. Man, I tell young people, shut up. They always talking about how they're struggling and how it hurts to get older, but they're not even old yet.
Nope. It seems like, I feel like kids are having, I don't know why I'm saying kids, I'm still in my 30s. Like, people are having, like, their midlife crisis at a younger age now.
Agreed. Like, at 25, they're about to give it all up. I'm like, no, you're not even old yet. You're not old at all. You're doing great. You can still sleep good. You can still go to football games, basically. You can still run, for God's sakes. So, yeah, it's a different world, man.
Can you still run now?
I tell you what, if you see me running Chase, you better come on.
I saw something about this, and I want to see if it's true. Is it true that while you were touring, you had a stroke?
That is absolutely true.
Holy crap.
I'm a stroke survivor. I'm almost a decade removed now.
What happened with that exactly?
So I'm 46 years old at the time. I just had my 46th birthday, and I just wasn't feeling well. And I talked to a friend of mine on the phone. As a matter of fact, I was in Denver, Colorado, so I was also affected by the altitude. But so I wasn't feeling well. I went to Walmart and checked my blood pressure. My blood pressure was 221 over 140 at the time. Oof. And I really should have went to the emergency room right then, but I still did two shows that night before going to the emergency room. And I walked into the hospital, and I didn't walk out for almost 45 days.
Wow. What was if you don't mind me asking, what was the recovery process like?
It was the most intense about 6-7 weeks I've had in my life. So the stroke happens. You go immediately into rehab, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all my stay in the hospital was in rehab. I'm a United States Navy veteran, so the VA took care of me, man.
Wow!
And I did everything. I did physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, because if a heart attack happens to your heart, a stroke is a brain attack, and your brain governs all your activity. From thinking to moving to speaking, all at the same time. So I had to rehab all those areas at once.
Was there a fear that, like, you would never be able to go back onto the stage again?
Absolutely. It was my biggest fear. And part of my recovery was my team. They got me back on my feet. they said, okay, we're gonna have a show. And at that time, I couldn't even, like, I got a little cold right now. Excuse me. But part of my recovery was planning for this show that I would do before I left. And they got me back on my feet, man.
You mentioned the VA. You said you're in the Navy. I asked Gary Owen this, so I'll ask you as well. Did the military try to beat the humor out of you, or were you always just like kind of the rambunctious guy, and no matter how hard they tried, they just couldn't break your humor?
They didn't try to beat that out of me. They kind of encouraged it. One of my first sets was for my shipmates.
Really?
You know? And my comedy partner at that time was a young man named Harry Radford, and Harry currently works for Kevin Hart.
Oh, nice.
So they kind of really, the military is the best time of my life. First of all, I was tip-top shape. I look great. But I guess to answer your question, they did try to beat it out of me. They kind of encouraged. My first comedy check was with the Navy. So,
oh, wow.
I thank those guys. Those men and women.
How long ago was that first set?
Oh, my God. Chase, man. I hate to date myself, but easily 30 years. Easily.
Wow. You've been doing this now I know I've said like a multi-decade career, but it's 30 years. Was there ever a point that you thought, maybe I can't do this? Or did you always just think, yeah, I can make this my career after the Navy?
You know, so I only quit once. Chase, I quit one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was stationed at my first duty station, New Orleans, Louisiana. And I know you live in the Navy town, Jackson's Navy town.
Mm-hmm.
So I go do a gong show. I get to New Orleans, my first duty station. I go do a gong show. I get gonged, ferociously gonged. And I was like, maybe this is not for me. And 2 days later, I meet Harry, and I encourage him to get on stage. And he and I started a comedy career that would span another 25, 30 years.
That's crazy. So you thought, like, okay, this is it. But then, like, you meet Harry, and it just kind of – what was it that kind of helped, like, rejuvenate all that?
Oh, he was so funny to me. And I was trying to tell him that I used to be a comedian and that he should try it. And he said, well, I'm not going to do it without you. So we became a comedy team for our first decade.
You mentioned that you – did this gong show in New Orleans. Is that the weirdest place that you've ever performed? Because I imagine since you've been doing this for a long time, you performed at hundreds of places. Like, what is, like, the weirdest place that you've performed at?
Oh, man. I've been everywhere. People's backyards. I've been to the base of the pyramids. I've been to Amsterdam. You know, I performed right outside of Bronco. So... And I tell you what, they didn't care about me at all. Yeah.
What I feel like the backyard show has got to be a little bit more intimate, but also it's one of those where if a joke doesn't land, like, you legitimately hear crickets.
And literally. So, do you remember the director Antoine Fisher?
Yes.
So he was a Navy vet too,
mm-hmm.
And he hired me to work his backyard. Like you said, if the joke don't go. It's a bad day. And so I'm not only working for a bunch of Navy people, I'm working for actors and all this stuff at his house at the same time. And you know what? It ended up being a great day.
Since you've been doing this for such a long time, for the aspiring comedians, what piece of advice would you give them?
Oh, best advice I say is just don't quit. Don't quit. You know, no matter what happens, good or bad, up or down, just don't quit. If you can stay in the game, you always have an opportunity to win. The only way you lose is to give up.
I mean, technically, if you also want to follow your advice, just quit for 2 days, and then you'll find somebody, and then
you. Right.
What was the moment that you realized, like, oh, I made it big?
I don't know. I don't know if I've made it big today. But as I reflect on a 30-year career, put kids through college, I bought cars and houses. And, you know, in retrospect, I got a pretty decent career, movies, TV, all that good stuff. So when I look at my kids, you know, especially during the time of the year, during Christmas, and I can afford to give them the things they want and or need. With jokes, it's crazy. It's insane.
It's crazy that you don't think you made it big, considering, one, you dropped that you bought houses and cars, but also put kids through college. But, like, Coming to America 2, Monique Show, Comics Unleashed, you've done all of these things, you've all these shows, you've traveled around the world. I feel like that's like all of the recipes of a successful career.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm like anybody else. You kind of start looking at other people sometime and wish you had their journey, but you have to be comfortable in your own journey, mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know, I was friends with Cat Williams, who's a worldwide global touring comedian. I was standing right there with Kevin Hart before he blew up. And so there's a sense of wanting that. But you look at your own career and your own journey, and yes, Rodney Perry, and I feel good. You know, 30 years later, I'm still, like, one of the best comedians in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. You can see him at the Comedy Zone on January 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now. Rodney Perry, before I let you go and ask you the same 10 questions I like to ask all my guests here, are you ready?
I am, Chase, I am.
All right. Give me the most played song on your playlist.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, I like this Anthony Hamilton song called All Messed Up.
Give me their guilty pleasure band or artist.
Jackson 5.
Is that a guilty pleasure? I feel like everybody likes the Jackson 5.
But I it's really uncomfortable how much I would listen to it. I'm like, why am I listening to these kids? Because they're children, you know, kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love them, man. They feel so nostalgic, you know.
Actually, I want to sidestep real quick. Speaking of children and kids, how fun was it, or how awkward was it doing Wild and Out with, like, it's you who have had this multi-decade career, and then it's just like a bunch of young people just all around you?
Great question, Chase. So I'm petrified. I'm as afraid as I've ever been about anything. And, you know, because I'm 50-year-old man, and these guys are 19, 18, 17. Man, they welcome me. They call me OG, and man, we had a ball. And if you can improv, you can always improv. And I live in improv, where I love improv. And so I managed to have a good day there. And shout out to Nick Cannon, man. Thank you. Great.
I'm guessing we're all of 12 or 13, 14, 15, I don't know, of his kids just there in attendance, just running around at that point.
I think it was 26 children, yes.
Is he trying to, like, fight, like, Antonio Cromartie with the amount of kids that he's doing? Like, he's already beat Philip Rivers, but I feel like he's at, like, Cromartie levels of kids.
Well, you know, I got 6 kids myself, so I can't really talk a lot about it, but, you know. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply.
That is very true. But, I mean, there's a stark difference between 6 and double digits.
Right.
All right. We'll go back to the questionnaire. What's a favorite song you like to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
My Way.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Cheeseburger.
Drink of choice?
Basil Hayden.
What is that?
That is a bourbon.
I've never heard of that. Your favorite superhero?
You know what? I just watched The Flash. They have a Flash movie with the multiverse and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think they did the best job at explaining the multiverse with that movie. So right now, Flash is my favorite superhero.
Favorite internet video?
So many. You know what I like? I like the videos where a dog will fart in the cat's face, and then the cat start hitting him. That's so funny to me.
My wife literally just sent me a video of that, like, not too long ago as well. I have, yeah. like, I am a 37-year-old man. Any farting video, I will just giggle like a schoolgirl. I don't know
farting
why.
Farting is never not funny.
My wife will just see me laugh, and she's like, because I guess I have a specific type of laugh, and she'll go, it's a fart video, isn't it? And like, yes.
Yes, it is, ma'am.
What are you watching right now on your streaming platforms?
I did a movie called A Pastor's Son, and I streamed that on Tubi just today. So that's the most recent movie I watched.
And finally, Rodney Perry, give me your spiciest hot take.
What's my spiciest hot take? Mm-hmm. Stephen A. Smith has a huge forehead.
I don't think there's nothing spicy about that. Like, the man's... I think that's just a fact. No offense to Stephen A. You know, shout out to him and all that he does. But the man's got a 5 head.
He got a 6 head, 8 head.
You can see him at the Comedy Zone January 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now. I hope Stephen A. doesn't hear this, because I know he will attack me eight ways to Sunday.
Hey, we both are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, we are. Rodney Perry, thanks a lot for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Chase, man. You're great. You're really good at this, bro.
I appreciate that.